You're listening to the Circularity Capital podcast, where we explore the trends that are enabling the transition to a circular economy. You'll hear from Circularity Capital partners, company executives, and other experts as we investigate how we can leverage capital and insight to support growth and innovation in the circular economy. I'm your host, Jamie Butterworth. In this special four-part Circularity Capital Insight podcast, we're going to explore the opportunities, challenges, and practical implications of building a new circular plastics economy. The podcast will take a perspective from four different viewpoints, drawing from industry experts and practitioners. We're going to be speaking to Gerald Narber, who's program manager of the Ellen MacArthur Foundation's New Plastics Economy Initiative, to understand what's really driving the need for a new plastics economy and how can the circular economy provide a framework for rethinking and redesigning in this regard. Then we're going to talk to David Rakowski, who's Global Circular Economy and Sustainability Co-Lead at PA Consulting, to understand what's driving business interest in the circular economy and what's the role of innovation in this transition and how can this be accelerated. We're then going to take a corporate perspective and talk to Ilko Schmidt, who's Senior Director of Sustainability at Philips, one of the corporate brands who's really driving the transition towards the circular economy at the moment, to understand what's kind of focusing corporate interest in this topic and what are some of the practical challenges faced in the transition. And finally, we're going to take an innovator perspective and talk to Jens Holmgaard, who's the founder and CEO of Shark Solutions, a circularity capital portfolio company, which focuses on taking an existing waste stream and transforming that into a high-performance, high-margin polymer. In this particular episode, we're going to listen to an interview between David Rakowski and I. Let's take a listen.
Hi, David. It's great to speak. Really interested in your interest or your insight on what's driving the business interest in the circular economy.
Sure. Well, yeah, likewise. Lovely to have the opportunity to chat through the topic, one that's very close to my heart, as you can imagine. So I think sustainability and carbon, they're really important topics for people, and increasingly so at the moment. I think it's clear to say we all want a positive human future, and I think it's becoming ever more apparent that if we don't change our habits and the way we consume, that the future will be anything but positive. So that is really driving, I think, a lot of the business interest in this, and because that's coming a lot from what consumers and what customers want. I think if you look at the BBC as an example as well, I think what's really interesting is that the circular economy is becoming a lot more of a term used a lot more regularly in the in news articles, etc. So it's starting to come a lot more into the day-to-day language that people or that people read and see in the media they receive. So it's starting to become a much better known term. But that said, I think the circular economy I still see it certainly as a means to an end. I think what people want is they want that sustainable future. That's the end goal. And I see the circular economy really as a very powerful methodology or tool in their toolbox to get there, if not the most powerful one. And it's a real enabler. I can't imagine a day when consumers will be looking for the most, I might be wrong on this, but the most circular product. I think they want the most sustainable one. And circular economy is an incredibly sort of effective and powerful way of achieving that.
And so do you see it being sort of consumer driven, but with a model that makes it economically viable and financially sensible for businesses?
Yeah, I think I think it's a very, very good point. It's not just about doing this for the right reasons. The whole premise and the work that we do in this space is predicated on how do you help organizations do well from doing good? Because there is a strong business case to doing this. I think the drive to maybe when I answered the question a moment ago, I was talking about the drives to kind of more sustainability and how the circular economy fits into that. But one of the clear benefits of the circular economy is there is a strong business case associated with it. And I would argue that if the approach you take, the circular economy approach you take, is appropriate to the product or item you're making, that actually the business case will be strong and will stand up and sort of wash its own face. I think what's very it might be that actually that some of that is not that there's an element of investment needed to get that return, but I'm a strong believer that there is a financial case to all of this, and I think that actually understanding that and selling the business case is one of the key. Probably one of the key challenges that organizations face, but when you overcome that, that's also one of the main and be one of the biggest enablers to really helping circular economy products and services to really grow.
That's super interesting, David. So what are the real world challenges for corporates in making this transition?
Yeah, I think there's a number of them. I think there's confusion. There's confusion around some of the technology that's out there. Organizations who have new materials or new products in this space, they'll obviously want to extol the virtues of those, and they'll basically want to kind of position those in the best light. And I think there's a lot of for companies who are looking into this, there's a lot of and brands will be buying materials or buying products. They'll be wanting and hoping sometimes that there's a silver bullet. I don't think there is a silver bullet to this. I think that there's lots of technologies out there which are being potentially put forward as something which can. Let me tell us a different way. Confusion. I recently went to the Case Show at the end of, well, recently, it's last October now, which is one of the biggest plastics trade shows in the world, or if not the biggest plastics trade show in the world. And there's lots of materials and products out there which are kind of being pitched a bit as silver bullets, and you know, this could solve a number of problems, and in reality that isn't true. It's quite a systemic challenge, and I think lots of organizations get a bit confused about which way to turn. And if we take it right down to materials and plastic, should we be compostable, should I be recyclable, should I be going biopolymers, and what direction to turn? I think trying to create a common language and taxonomy around that, and also trying to navigate that, is a tricky thing to do. We certainly worked with a client recently where we helped them map out what the different future scenarios for single-use plastics could be. And one of the biggest things, as well as they're helping them develop their product strategy, one of the biggest things we were able to do as part of that was help them create a language that they could use in their between them and then their in their industry about what those different scenarios are, and help organizations start and help them with their value chain map the path to the scenario that or map a path that enabled as many of those future scenarios as possible. And help shape it in a way that they can help shape a more sustainable future for them. So I think there's a lot of confusion around what's out there. I think there's I touched on it a bit. There's this systemic element to this. So there's a big focus on packaging, as you would appreciate. So if you look at consumer brands, lots of them will be and driven in part through the fantastic work of organisations like the Ellen MacArthur Foundation. We're really looking at how they drive and innovate new packaging formats, but. Which have and embed the circular economy, but the that's only part of the space here, because the other part is around the infrastructure, and I think that there's sometimes can be a bit of a over focus on one or the other, and the two really need to move forward together. And I think a good example of that is when I think certainly consumer brands, they will find it and we'll be able to understand the part of the value chain that they're in control of. But then there's a big part post making the product that is out of their control. And I think that is an element where needing to get a really good understanding of that and be able to bring insight on how that part of the value chain works into their product development is key.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's you know, so many different variables across products and geographies and sort of technical desires that it's certainly not a silver bullet kind of solution that we're looking for. It requires lots of different solutions, but it's really encouraging to hear that you think, you know, a lot of these solutions are already available and out there. It's about matching supply with demand almost.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it's about matching supply with demand, but also with the business case internally in an organization. We need to be able to, businesses, they're commercial entities, they need to make money, so they need to be able to sell the need to innovate in this space internally. And I don't think that business case always now, increasingly, it can be broader than just financial. I think it can also include the link back to finance, the carbon impact of what they're doing. So I think that it's really important to develop that business case and to be able to use that as a way to drive innovation in this space. And personally, I don't think there's still not enough focus on that business case. And I think that it's the organizations there can be a bit of a habit to say this can be a cost to business without fully understanding the end-to-end whole life business case for innovating in this. More than often, we find that business case does stack up, and that projects, there is a strong financial case to this as well as a sustainable one.
Yeah, interesting. So this, as you say, the systemic approach where you're thinking about the solution across your whole supply chain, operations, customers, etc. So, you know, that systemic approach is where the driver is. So the challenge there is for corporates to, you know, avoid siloed thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, so corporates need to avoid siloed thinking, but and one way of doing that is to think about this at the outset. So if I'm embarking on a new product development, I've seen this a number of times. If there's this trap that people sometimes fall into, going, yes, I'll think about the sustainability once we launch it. But then that's invariably you're baking in a lot of design principles into the product you've made, which isn't exactly ideal. And you're going to have quite a lot of it's going to be difficult to then change and pivot to a more sustainable item. Let me give you a specific example. My team developed a consumer appliance. It had basically it was about £30 to make each of these items, electronics and plastics, plastic outer, electronic inner. The item was basically designed, it's going to be in a child's bedroom. So it's going to be finite because children will grow out of it over time. So after about 5 years, you can imagine this product wouldn't be wanted anymore. Now, the company making this cared about sustainability a lot. And at the start, they had a choice. They had a choice about whether or not they make their product and they think about sustainability in what they're doing, or whether or not they leave that to a later point. They were bold. They said, no, it's really important to us. We want to be able to shout about the sustainability of this product, and we want that to be a core part of what we're doing. So we developed generated a circular economy strategy in the early stages of the development, which is a comparatively very small bit of work to the overall development we were doing. And that came up with a number of scenarios, from really kind of crazy ones through to very safe ones. And unsurprisingly, somewhere in the middle there was a really good set of actions that we could take in the design that would create a circular and sustainable roadmap for this product in the future. And we demonstrated that we could through making sensible choices of materials, we could recycle the outer by making the right choice on connectors and use cycles, and also the right choice on setting up reverse supply chains at the start as part of our contracting for the manufacturer of this, that we could recover the electronics end of life and then save 20% on future iterations of the product. So by having that bold view at the beginning of saying, let's look at this, let's think about this, and as we were saying, in a systemic way, and let's look at what the options are and then implement the most appropriate ones, the business case just stacks up. And I think it's about having that bold mindset at the beginning to do something in this space, I think, is the most important.
That is absolutely fascinating. Thank you for that insight, David. So the bold systemic approach coupled with innovation. So innovation really is a key strategy in the transition. How do you think that can be accelerated?
So I love the phrase necessity is the mother of all innovation. And I think in this case, it couldn't be more true. It's very clear that we need to change our consumption habits. But I think the business case is what drives that and one of the things that accelerates it. So engineers and innovators, they love a challenge. So they love a few constraints. It's what gets them out of bed in the morning. So they really need to be given that mandate and given that commercial case to do this activity. So I think it does come back to being able to demonstrate the business case that exists here, that I firmly believe, and I have many data points that when you look for it, it is there, and there is commercial gain and to be had from this as well as sustainable benefits.
Fantastic. And so in your vision, in the kind of near term, do you see a different kind of packaging environment that is possible?
Yeah, I think it depends. So there's a number of factors that drive this, from policy through to technology development. I do see a much more positive kind of space in the area of packaging. I see the problem we've got at the moment is leakage of plastics into the environment, and I do see innovations which are coming through which are going to really have an impact on that. I think there's a number of factors which play on this, though. Everything from legislation through to what's the technology stack that you're playing with, through to consumer sentiment. These all need to come together. And I think, going back to an earlier point, that drives a number of different scenarios that could occur in the future. And it's not really possible to have a crystal ball, though we would love one. But I think it's possible to look out for what some of the indicators along that journey might be, what policies come out with regard to compostability, how quickly new recycling technologies become commercially scalable and viable, and how quickly new materials come onto the market. And we need to keep watching for those indicators to see which of these scenarios is going to emerge, and it's likely to be a quiltwork, patchwork quilt of many of them, I expect. So do see a positive future in this space. I mean, there's a number of things coming through, both technologies, business models, which are driving into that space. Exactly what that mix is going to be in the future, I don't know, but it's just all a matter of being agile and being able to position organizations, be able to position themselves for the most amount of those positive scenarios as they can.
Okay, so there's some really, really clear messages from in your view, is that, systemic approach, innovation, and being agile, as you say, are really key for corporates to force through circular economy strategies and benefit from that consumer driven demand.
Yeah, I think you summarized it really, really well. I think just to build on that kind of agile point, I think organizations, keeping a real awareness of what new materials are out there and are coming through. If you look at I don't know if you're happy for me to say this, Andrew, but the work we did with you and with Shark, that's clearly a very exciting recycled material which can enable organisations on their circular economy journeys. There's being aware of what those materials are and what's coming through is key. And also being, I think, organisations being able to be able to take those and have the capacity within them to be able to take them and bring them into their innovation pathways is key as well. That goes back to needing to be bold in this space and to be able to make those decisions at the outset that you want to do something that's more sustainable and looking for that business case. And when you do, that business case invariably stacks up. One more thing to throw in on innovation, which I think, so I sit on a few advice panels to organizations, and when they talk about sustainability and circular economy and they start talking about innovation, they immediately think about the technology and they start talking about new materials, new products. What they, I think it's implicit, but what is often over or not spoke about explicitly is the business model. So the innovation for me is not just around the technology. The innovation for me is around the business model as well. And the two have to go hand in hand, because either you'll end up with a whizzo bit of tech that you've got no way to get commercial gain from, or vice versa, you'll have the best business model that you just can't implement because you need to bend the rules of physics. So I think it's just an important note, side note, to say when we talk innovation, let's not just always think about the physical stuff that you drop on your toe, but also think about the commercial and business model as well.
Fully agree. Great. Okay. Thanks, David.
That was my colleague, Andrew Shannon of Circularity Capital, and David Rakowski of PA Consulting on building the new plastics economy. I'm your host, Jamie Butterworth. As always, you can find more information at circularitycapital.com or get in touch with us at info@circularitycapital.com. For more information on PA Consulting, head to paconsulting.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.